Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The year is with Red and Bobby.
Welcome to The Year Is, a comedy podcast where every episode, me, comedian Bobby Mayer, and this man, comedian
Red Richardson,
travel back in time to a year in history, and we talk about the most interesting and weird things from that year. How was that tone of voice?
I know it was good. It's a good start.
Yeah, I was trying to sound happy.
You sound happy, and it's you should be happy because it's a very exciting show that you're involved in.
What, you think this podcast can save the rest of my life from sucking?
Yeah, I think this is the start of the new you. I think you're going to really benefit from this.
But the thing is, you. I've been your friend, mm-hmm. some would say best friend, mm-hmm. for years.
Yeah.
So you're a big part of the old me. So how is spending time with you going to make the new me?
Well, I've been gently pushing you towards the new you.
This is insane and a lie, a blatant lie.
No, I've been, when I met you, you were troubled is a light way of putting it. And I saw potential and I thought I can, you know, not comedically, I'm obviously huge potential there, but I mean emotionally, I thought there's a way of.
This is outrageous. Between the two of us, who is called who more in distress?
Probably you, I think.
This is a lie? You are lying? I remember multiple times you being upset, me being comforting. When was I upset, you were comforting?
Should we start the podcast?
Fine.
Okay, so we're going to do the year 2000 today, Bobby. We're traveling back to 21 years ago. Ooh.
The year 2000.
The year 2000. I was 11 years old. How old were you?
I don't know, 14?
We can maths. You can work
it out. You're 12.
No, I was 11.
11. I could have beat the shit out of you in the year 2000.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 14-year-old Bobby could have beat up this short little fat loser kid.
I wasn't fat until 5 years ago.
Yeah, well, it would have been easier to beat you up then.
I was very malnourished.
I could throw you around.
And I was short as well. Yeah, you could have got me.
I was pretty tall.
Yeah. So is that what you do if you could travel back in time? Beat
if
me
I
up.
Was travel back in time and enter my own 14-year-old body.
You wouldn't stop 9/11. You wouldn't place a bet on a
sport. How would a 14-year-old boy stop 9/11?
Well, if you knew. Because you're going back in time, so you would know.
Who's going to believe me? So 14-year-old me travels back to 2000, the year 2000. Yeah. So I've got, you know, a year mm-hmm. to stop 9/11.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, there's going to be a terrorist attack in a year. Who are you again?
Why aren't you in school?
Yeah, I'm a kid. I'm a kid.
No one would listen to you.
What I'd have to do, the only way to do it would to go on Al-Qaeda message boards.
Yeah.
And then claim that I saw something on there that told me that.
Yeah.
And then.
But you wouldn't have any evidence. So they'd probably just not listen.
They wouldn't believe me.
No.
That's so sad that I couldn't even fix it if I wanted to. That's. Yeah. I mean, I wish I could. I'd like to stop 9/11. Are there?
I think most people would, apart from Al Qaeda.
Yeah. There's a small group of people,
minority of people who are quite up for it carrying on. But so, what did you find in your deep dive to the year 2000, the turn of the century, the new millennium?
Did you know Bin Laden?
Mm.
His father and brother died in plane crashes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, after 9/11?
No, before. One of them died accidentally flying a plane into a building.
No.
Hmm.
I didn't. Is that actually? That's not
yeah,
true.
Yeah, this is true.
Really?
Did you know? You know that?
What?
Isn't that? That's what gave him the idea. When you read about it, it's so crystal clear.
Yeah.
I think it was his dad flew a plane into a building, accidentally had died, and he thought,
that's a way to do something.
Yeah.
Fuck. And then he's obviously get like this some sort of therapeutic thing for him, probably.
Yeah, I think the word is therapeutic.
Yeah, well, if you're Bin Laden, that's probably therapy. You know, most of us have a cold shower or see a therapist.
Yeah,
but wasn't much therapy going around in the mountains in Afghanistan.
No,
clearly.
But no, they didn't have the language either.
No.
Yeah, I just had a shitty. I did a gig last night, and I'm on stage. And this guy in the crowd is on the phone.
Okay.
And I ask him to stop talking on the phone, which I think is reasonable. Then he tells me I'm not good enough at comedy to listen to. the rest of the audience disagreed with him. They were on my side.
Did he call Michael McIntyre?
He was there with like four of his sisters.
Yeah.
And then they were like, that's our brother. Leave him alone. And I'm like, I'm not. He's on the phone. I'm not.
Yeah. It's his deal.
And they were staunchly defending him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was talking to him, saying, just get off the fucking phone, you loser. And his sister was sitting in front of him, but she thought I was talking to her because I was looking in her direction.
Even though
this whole conversation had already happened. So I'm looking at him, and she goes, stop looking at me. And I said, clearly I'm looking at him. And she said, well, it feels like you're looking at me. And then she left.
Walked out.
And he stayed and talked on the phone. Yeah.
Well, for the rest of your set.
Yeah, and then eventually was kicked out, but...
Yeah.
Just really, like, put a damper on my mood.
Who was he talking to, do you know?
I don't know. He had a vibe of, like, man who wanted to be a successful drug dealer, but it wasn't working out.
Yeah. Yeah, we could have just walked outside. I never get it when you see someone at a comedy show and they start talking. You go, there's the whole world to do this, you know? Yeah. These shows take up, like, 0.1% of land space. You could go anywhere and do this. So I think it's kind of a statement. I think people like to do it because it's kind of, they get a kick out of it.
Just put a damper on my day. But then now we get to talk about me at 14, you at 11.
11, the turn of the century, lots of hope.
And this was a time, if I remember correctly, when you were 11, the year 2000, I like this year because it's the year you had hope.
Yes.
It was the year, for those of you that don't know, the film Harry Potter was cast.
Yep.
Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, that other kid.
Rupert Grint.
Whatever his name is. Yep. I'd love to meet him. What a lot of people don't know is...
Why would you love to meet him? Why him?
I get people who feel like losers.
Why does he feel like a loser?
Because
he's a multi-millionaire.
Yeah, but he's the loser of the three.
Yeah, I suppose.
You can tell they...
Well, she's like the head of the UN now. He's, you know, still acting despite not being able to. And no one knows where he is.
You can tell that Rupert Grint is the fun one.
Yeah, he sort of stepped back because he's weird. Like he's sort of gone, I got a very lucky ticket and now I'm just going to slip in off into the night. Whereas Radcliffe's kind of gone, I'm an actor. And you go, yeah, I don't think you are.
But what a lot of people don't know is that that could have easily been Red Richardson.
It could. And this is why I speak so badly of Daniel Radcliffe, because there's an element of bitterness. I'm not ashamed to admit it. But what Bobby is referring to, I was street cast to audition for the role of Harry Potter. I went to an audition, got through to the next round, ended up one-on-one with the director, a man called Christopher Columbus.
You had a one-on-one with Christopher Columbus?
Yep. And I did some stuff for him, and I didn't get the role.
And I think the mistake you probably made was you met him and you said, sir, what was it like when you first stepped onto what is now America?
Yeah.
He said, excuse me? And he said, you're Christopher Columbus. Yeah, I can't believe.
Yeah, I can't believe you're still alive.
You're an immortal explorer who's now went into children's films.
Yeah. You thought you're looking for
and
India.
He was like, is this a joke? And you were like, listen, I read the same books as you do. I know who you are. Just because you tried to hide in plain sight by not changing your name doesn't mean I don't know exactly who you are.
Yeah, so a huge explorer now decides to make kids' films.
Yeah. And you said that to him, and he was put off. Your performance was better than Radcliffe's. I mean, Radcliffe's wouldn't.
No, Radcliffe would have been charming, and he's an acting kid. They tried to make out he wasn't, and then you find out he was in some Copperfield production.
Did he have the scar on his head?
No, that's just part of the character.
You should have. I think, here's the thing. You say you met with him. What was the conversation?
Well, I had to read lines for the film.
Do you remember what scene?
No. It was like a scene. It was like, Hermione, you know, shouting and sort of, I just couldn't do it. And I don't think, yeah.
But if it was now, could you do it?
What, play a 10-year-old wizard?
If you had the chance now to audition for Harry Potter, could you do it?
What, as Harry Potter?
Yeah.
As him is 32?
No, just if you, listen, okay, here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to email you a Harry Potter scene.
Okay.
And then you, we're going to read it and we're going to give you another shot.
Okay.
Can you do that, Red?
Yeah. I'll do it.
Okay, give me a sec.
Yeah, it's like drama's hard thing to do. You have to sort of let go of a lot of, and I'm not like a hugely energetic person. So they make you do all sorts of stuff that is quite embarrassing.
And like what?
Just sort of like, oh, pretend to be a chicken in the nuclear disaster. You know, all these sort of stuff that's not really in there. I was like, I've read the books. I don't know. There's a chicken in the whole fucking thing. So it was, yeah, they sort of get you to like move loads and wasn't great.
Okay, I found it. I've sent it to you.
Okay.
Have you opened it?
Okay, let's do this.
Seems silly, doesn't it?
Wait, so you're Ginny and I'm Harry, yeah?
Yeah.
You look a bit like Ginny because she's got ginger hair. So this is good.
Okay. Seems silly, doesn't it? A wedding, given everything that's going on.
Maybe that's the best reason to have it, because of everything that's going on.
Her chin turns, coming into profile, her face very close. Then she folds into him and they are kissing, long, deep. Pretend to kiss?
No, we can't do that.
No, don't pretend to kiss me, just pretend.
Oh.
No, that's open mouth. I would have given you that part.
Yeah, see? Could have gotten it. Could have.
I think you've matured as an actor.
Yeah, I'm better now. I think I would have. I probably would have ruined the franchise for a lot of people. But it's also, everything happens for a reason. And I wouldn't be here with you now had I have gotten the Harry Potter thing. I'd be a famous superstar.
You'd be in a lot of tabloids.
Yeah. I would have been kicked off a few airplanes.
Can you be the Harry Potter as a fucking mustache?
A lot of gut shots in the press.
Your gut. Because sometimes you often are just sitting on a couch and your gut hangs out, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's you in a restaurant and you're a famous
yeah,
person.
Yeah, but I don't do that in restaurants.
I don't. I've seen it.
No, okay.
And yeah. That's fine. I'm not shaming you. I'm just saying it would be in a
tabloid. There would have been a few rehab trips, a couple of Oprah interviews. Yeah, it would have been a Macaulay Culkin situation.
Yeah.
I think. Maybe.
Radcliffe quit drinking, actually, when he was like 17, 18. He had a problem. But I don't think you would have quit at 17 or 18.
No, I didn't. Why? You've done it all. It's just party time. I know. I kind of wonder why he bothers still doing stuff. Because you go, you're worth like 80 million. And you know how boring it is on the brief bits of TV I've done? When you sit there, then they have to turn around, and then you go do another shot, and then you have to sit in makeup. You go, who wants to do this?
You had your debut recently, a television debut, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
What was the role?
I don't know if I'm legally allowed to say.
Well, we won't say what show it was, but we can.
I'm definitely allowed to say it, because I'm just not saying. I was playing a baby in a nappy, a man-sized baby, and they covered me in baby oil, and I thought, I've been working to be on TV for so long, and is it, isn't it? So be careful for what you wish for.
I just love that the first part you got on television and you didn't have to audition for.
No.
No audition. They looked at you and they thought, we know what you would be good for.
And then 21 years later, 21 years after not getting Harry Potter, I get the role of Big Baby at the age of 32.
With no lines, it's all.
Well, it's all in the eyes, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
What are your baby eyes?
Well, you have to wait till it comes out.
Okay, you don't want to
ruin it. No, I don't want to ruin it. It'll give away too much. But no,
so did you watch the Harry Potter films bitterly? Like,
no,
did it sting?
No, I read the books. Like, I loved the books, but I never really read. I was, by the time the film started to come out, it was like over for me, you know.
Yeah,
and I think there was a bit of bitterness. But the first film came out when I was like 14, so you're just moving away from that. I think it only hit me when I got to like 25, because I remember at the time going, it doesn't matter, I'll be a professional footballer instead. And then I found out that Jack Whitehall also auditioned for the role of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And that stung because it meant I'm not even the most successful person who didn't get the role. So there's a lot tied up in that. What is everyone's favorite franchise? It means so much to so many children and gives them hope. Is actually just a sort of what could have been horrible crossroads in my life. And here we are.
Do you think if you would still be friends with Emma Watson if you guys had filmed
No, she'd her, absolutely her. Hate me. She'd be articles about how toxic I was.
Just because me and Red were in Harry Potter together does not mean I agree with any of his political opinions.
I would have
What he said on that podcast is unforgivable. We are having him digitally removed from every Harry Potter film.
That's what would have happened.
And replaced with a giant turd.
With Kevin Spacey, because that's better for the brand, given everything he's done in the last 20 years. No, it would be easily, because I'm bad. It's good that I haven't achieved anything. The minute I get anything, I abuse it. You know what I mean? Like, no, I'm kidding.
Power goes to your head
very
before
quickly.
There is power.
Very quickly. Like, I've had power trips and getting like 25 likes on Instagram. It's like, I do not need billboards with my face on them. I would go insane. That's your dog, Bobby?
Yep.
No dogs in most podcasts. We have a dog in our podcast.
Yeah, Harriet was nice enough to let it bark in the living room. We really appreciate that. We'll just wait a second.
Well... Y2K.
Why not to K? To K or why not to K?
Do you remember the phrase Y2K?
It's not a phrase.
Isn't it? Well, it's just what everyone used to say. Y2K, as in year 2000.
Yeah.
So the year was big because everyone had spent the decade before that, leading up to it, maybe even more than a decade, fearing the millennium bug.
Yeah.
So from my research... Y2K, the infamous millennium bug, was expected to cause global chaos with fears that aeroplanes would fall out of the sky, missiles would fire by accident, or simply because of the hypothetical resetting of dates on computers at the stroke of midnight on 1st of January, year 2000. So they thought because there was an extra zero being added.
Can I just say they hyped it up, right? For years, they said Y2K is going to fuck all the computer systems. Obviously, they did their corrections beforehand.
Yeah.
It would have been fucking crazy if it happened the way they thought it was going to. You know, like, if just one day, Happy New Year! 10,000 planes fall out of the sky.
Yeah,
ships start sinking. Oil tankers start leaking oil.
All because of a computer. And I looked into it, so it didn't do shit, really. But there was the places it hit, there was a place in Australia where the ticket system on buses stopped working.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 10,000 debit cards didn't work. And this is a good one. Is a nuclear power plant in Japan, on the stroke of midnight, for some reason, the alarm just went off and they all thought, shit, this is it.
Happy New Year! Chernobyl 2!
Yes. But no, nothing happened. So we'd all spent all that time. I remember hearing about it as a kid going, why is it just turn off the computers? like, why just throw them away? We didn't have them 20 years ago. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But, stop creating things that make us more problems.
But now, Red, you couldn't live without, like, your phone.
No, I couldn't. And that's a bad thing.
You'd have to be alone with your thoughts.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, your phone's ruining your brain. It's like, have you tried my thoughts?
Yeah, but now I'm...
Because my thoughts will rot your brain a lot faster than any phone screen. People who just say, oh, just sit with yourself. You need more time with yourself. Yeah, maybe you with yourself. Me with myself, I need my phone so that I can avoid me. Because my biggest enemy is not my phone or my addiction to my phone. My biggest enemy is when I sit and just let my mind tell me what it thinks.
Yeah, but if you have a phone, you're sort of alone with Piers Morgan's thoughts.
I'm happier with those.
Someone else's thoughts. Some Everyone fucking idiot on Twitter.
Everyone else's thoughts are better than my internal monologue. Yeah. What is your internal monologue like?
Not great. That's why I stare at my phone for 8.5 hours
yes.
a day. Yeah.
Yeah, we've
But then it gets worse because you're just looking at people and they're like, you're like, what is this? Why am I here? What am I looking for? Like, when was the last time you saw something that you went, oh, that's good? It's also so confusing because you scroll along on Instagram and stuff like that and it'll be like picture of someone's dog, someone's lasagna, then a fucking car bomb that's just gone off in Iraq. And you're like, how is this? What? This is too much conflicting information in such a quick time, you know?
It really does encapsulate the randomness of life.
Yeah, yeah.
Lasagna car bomb. Oh, God, it's a lot.
Dog, your childhood hero's arrested.
Keep going, keep moving, walk, walk.
Every film you've ever watched is banned. Yeah, no, it's so much CGI cutting. How can it happen? I know, it is terrible. There's some old men in Hollywood with their fucking an apology written in their notes, just sat on their phones all day going, am I trending? Okay. Not good.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
But so talking of phones, if you don't mind, the Nokia 3210 came out in 2000. Do you remember that phone?
Everyone keeps talking about this phone.
Did you get it in Canada?
Here's the thing, yes, but there's all these retro flashbacks to this phone. I never got a cell phone until it was like an iPhone. I was one of those people who just had a landline and everyone else had a phone.
Really?
I was like, I'm not getting a cell phone. I was like that till like 2009.
Really?
I'm not getting a, I don't need to be contactable all the time.
Oh, God.
You want to call me? Call me on my landline.
God, so you would have like numbers written down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's quite cool, actually.
And then one day, I joined the club. I had to.
But I didn't get an iPhone until 2014, and I just had before. But the Nokia 3210 was the one that had Snake. I remember first seeing it on the bus that someone would have a phone, and it was always like these like kids who were slightly older who sort of. There's a lot of people on my bus who would wear like big tracksuit coats, smoke fags, and they had a phone and they had Snake on it. I remember the first time I saw it, I thought, wow, this is life-changing.
The fact that you just described someone who wears big tracksuits while smoking, clearly a fucking loser,
well,
playing Snake on their phone, and you thought, I want to be a part of this gang.
Can I say all of them went on to have children at the age of like 16? It seemed to be a correlation between anyone who had...
As someone who's about to have a kid, 36 years old.
Yeah.
The kid's about to come. I wish I had a kid at 16.
Why?
Because I'd have a 20-year-old right now. I'm done. I'm free.
No, you won't be free at all. They'll be living in this room.
No, they'd be out.
No, they wouldn't.
buddy, on my kid's 18th birthday,
yeah,
they get their walking papers. Well,
they're going to be living in a tent if the economy goes and the podcast goes the way. Yeah, I don't think you will. I don't think Harriet would let you do that.
What? But why? Listen, I've done my contractual amount of... I'm not going to raise them better from 18 onwards. Like, I'm not going to now... After they're 18, they're formed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to... I can't... Even the mistakes I've made, I can't correct. You know, like, if you put the wrong ingredients into a pie and you bake the pie and you take it out of the oven and you're like, oh, this pie is disgusting and a bit racist and right-wing leaning and has anger issues, you can't unbake a pie. So once the kid's 18, they just are who they are.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't unbake it.
This pie torches
animals.
And
if I don't like them especially...
Yeah.
I don't want to be reminded daily of my failings as a parent while they live with me for the rest of my life.
No, I can imagine that. I've had moments with my mum and dad where you sort of catch them looking at you and you go, this isn't what you wanted, is it? Didn't quite turn out the way you expected.
But that phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just never... Did you end up getting one?
Yeah, I had a Nokia, like a slightly later one. Yeah, and Snake, it was the biggest, best thing, you know. Did you play Snake?
No!
The snake would go around, it would eat the little thing and then get bigger and bigger and then it ends up dying because it's so fat.
Were you good at the snake game?
I was all right.
Yeah.
We just constantly... But, you know, it was like those phones would last for days. Like
the battery of power, you mean?
Battery power would last for days. Now it's like people want to intravenously like hook up their... Like anytime anyone walks in anywhere, it's like, where's the charger?
You know it's a conspiracy. You know they have a battery that would last a week and never need to be replaced.
Of course.
And they sit there, and what they do is they give us these batteries that over like 6 months just get slower and slower. What I mean by slower is like they last a shorter and shorter amount of time.
Mm.
And within a year, your battery is shit. And then you think, I need a new phone. And you give them another £1,000 for another phone. They for sure have a battery.
Oh, yeah.
That they put in a vault that would last for a month.
And they're going to bring it out in 20 years.
And it's so annoying.
Yeah. And they constantly change the cords and stuff like that, which will end up around dolphins and turtles probably in the somewhere.
That's quite cool, though. I think a dolphin wearing a necklace. I'd like to see that dolphin.
I don't think it's a necklace.
Come on. Listen,
I think it's a garrote.
Yes, the turtle. there's a difference between only a slight difference between a noose and a necklace, yeah, I guess.
They're distant cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it was the start of having a phone that wasn't... Phones before were like for like cokehead businessmen and like...
Like, remember the late 80s? Someone's like, I have a car phone. And you're oh my God.
He's a winner.
He's calling the president.
Yeah. He must be.
With his car phone.
Yeah, there's one number. It's the president's.
And they just be like, hello? Hello, I can't hear you. It's like, of course you can't hear you. The world is not built for car phones. It's 1989.
Yeah, it's like satellite. Yeah, it was, and like, kids were obsessed with it. You know, when I was, it was the big game. Now you look back on it, you go, God, this is so dated. But people are just, it's Twitter has taken over, Instagram, stuff like that. And it's going to be, where does it all go? Where are we ending with this? Because I look at it and you see people and you go, like, you know, you'll see some journalist arguing with someone they've never met who probably lives in Austria. And you're like, I was on the bus the other day. Everyone's on their phones. I was like, I bet you're having an argument with...
I don't think most people are arguing. You never argue online.
No, I don't, but...
I think most people are just mindlessly scrolling.
Mm. But they're watching people argue. Because that's what it is. You know, people go, I actually think... And you go, who gives a shit what you... What? Like, the internet hasn't brought us closer together. Social media hasn't. It's just made... I could go online now, find a 9-year-old kid in Vietnam playing the drums and tell him he's shit. You know, that's the only thing that's really given us.
Maybe he needs to know that, though. I don't know.
Okay. Well, there was this kid who was, I saw this one. So this lady tweeted saying, I have a nephew who's got autism and he makes YouTube videos and he gets no hits.
Okay.
Would it be possible for anyone on here to retweet it, go on his YouTube channel and write great work? And I was like, there's no way someone's not going to be mean. Scroll down 3 comments. This guy had written, watched 3 minutes of one of the videos, tell him it's fucking shit. Comment underneath
that's,
when
I'm laughing, but like that's a horrible.
It's horrible.
But
it's horrible.
It's just like the
this is where we are now.
Being able to predict human behavior, yes. Where it's like you know that's
going to be that. Another comment said, "Not for me," and I'm like, "What the fucking hell?" So it was so brutal.
I just like that the idea that like, yeah. What was he? What was the kid doing? Did you watch the video?
I didn't click on them because, well, you know.
Did you give him a retweet?
No, no.
So you didn't help the lady out.
He's six.
You didn't even help her out.
So
the kid is some autistic kid, probably bullied, probably made a fun video of him singing a song or something. They just wanted to feel something. And their aunt said, "My nephew has autism," and you saw it and said, "Well, that's nice that your nephew wants people to watch his video. Not doing it. Close." Ha ha, people said he's shit. Close.
Oh, God.
All right, what's next? What's next?
Oh,
you know what's next.
All right, this is what I discovered very, very amusing to me. And hopefully you. And you at home.
Don't assume they're at home.
You might be on the bus.
You might be on a train.
Yeah.
You might be in your mom's basement.
You could be there.
You might have dug a hole and you're sitting in the hole.
Yeah.
And hopefully our podcast is bringing you some joy.
You might be in prison. Can you get podcasts in prison?
That's a good question. I'd love to tailor.
What? Prison podcasts?
Prison podcasts to prisoners.
It's a big market.
Yeah.
The number one prison podcast.
A lot of free time. Not a lot of purchasing power for advertisers, though.
Mm. Yeah, they do stuff.
I'm just saying, like...
They'll advertise on anything.
You know, eventually, you want to have a podcast where you have sponsors.
Yeah.
And then your listeners listen. Mm. And then they buy the stuff. Your only advertisers could be people whose products are sold in the prison commissary.
Yeah. What would that... Yeah, like?
Hi! Do you like Colgate's new self-sharpening toothbrush where you can brush your teeth and stab your cellmate in the neck because you found out he's a pedophile? Well, if you're enjoying the year is, then this toothbrush is for you.
Yeah. The codename Red
and Bobby. Razor's Edge, a new cutting-edge toothbrush that can slide into human flesh like butter. It'd be really niche market.
No,
I think.
Of course it would. Of course it would.
The key would be to crack the U.S. industrial, you know, prison system because that's the most
massive.
Prisoners in the world.
We'd be massive.
Yeah,
but we can do live shows.
I don't know. You could do like Johnny Cash kind of like.
Also, if these people listen to us all the time and they start getting their heads and hearing, you know, we'd suddenly be known to 50 million criminals. And I don't want them to know who I am.
No, because often when people listen to podcasts, they do feel like the person they're talking
they
to
know
is their friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, these people are going to get out of prison someday, and who are they going to want to stay with? A friend.
We'd be like their Spice Girls.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty fucked. Imagine if everyone who liked your stuff killed someone who was a corporate criminal.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's just not great. Not great. But anyway, so in September, Blockbuster, remember Blockbuster?
Great company.
We're great. One of the giants.
You know what I hate about Blockbuster?
What?
You'd walk in. Mm. Hello!
What?
They'd always say hello.
What, just the Blockbuster?
Yeah, it was a system. They
I don't remember that.
I do. Go with me.
Yeah, okay.
There was a system where when you walked in, they had figured out that if you say hello to the customer, they're less likely to steal.
Okay.
So no matter where they were in the store, you'd walk in and they'd scream, "Hello!"
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know
and you'd be
that.
Like, "Oh, hi.
Hi.
Like, can I help you?" And then you leave. They say goodbye, and you're like,
"I don't think you're gonna walk in planning on stealing." Oh, fuck! I can't now because he said hello.
But that's where you're wrong.
Okay.
Psychologically, if someone says hello to you, you're much less likely to steal from them because you feel a sense of connection. You feel a bit of empathy. You feel. Like, it's easy to steal from a corporate chain because
yeah.
But if someone says hello, you feel like, oh,
no, there's more of a
person.
Touch of personal. Yeah, I can see in theory that works.
So that's why I'm glad Blockbuster failed. If not, only for that reason, so I don't have to say hello to anyone anymore. Well,
yeah, fair enough. It was the big giant Blockbuster. No one could see what was coming. But back in 2000, so this is great. So one of the greatest what if stories of all time broke last year with the release of Netflix co-founder Mark Randolph's memoir about the rise of Netflix. In it, he describes flying down to Dallas alongside co-founder Reed Hastings to attend a meeting with Blockbuster CEO John Antioco. Back then, Netflix wasn't the media goliath it is now, but rather a DVD-by-mail rental service on the verge of collapse, thanks in part to the dot-com bubble burst. Anyway, they wanted Blockbuster to invest in Netflix. The only way out for it to survive, they thought at the time, was to sell it at Blockbuster. After months of waiting, Antioco finally decided to meet. He asked Netflix founders how much the company would cost. Their answer was $50 million. Randolph would describe Antioco's response as trying desperately not to laugh. Only a decade later, Blockbuster declared bankruptcy, and Netflix is now worth $294 billion.
Ah!
Yeah. So John Antioco, very bad day in the office. This was his 9/11.
So the Netflix guys come and say, "You... our company's worth $50 million.
And he's like, yeah. So I read a Forbes article about it, and they're like, he gets such shit, but no one knew. You know, he doesn't make him a bad businessman. He had like, it's just that one fucking thing, you know? Like, you can miss that one thing and you're famous for it. It's like the same with Harry Potter. The publishers, he said, who wants to read a book about a boy wizard?
It's so painful to know what, like, listen, that guy obviously was successful. He was a CEO of Blockbuster. Yeah. He's a very rich man. But it's so painful when you know you've missed out on like making the most money you could have ever made.
Yeah. But the difference is he was successful. This will be seen as a legacy problem. You know, he's probably got a lot of money, possibly.
But he's not like a Kennedy.
No, but this will kill him. Without a doubt. It will absolutely kill
him. What does he do now?
He's got a smoothie company that doesn't make half as much as...
How much does it make?
But the turnover was $50 million a year.
Dude, that's so funny.
Which means he's...
That's so funny, though, because that's how much they asked for Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
That's his prison.
Yeah. He can never get below.
No. Now every day. So how are we doing? Yep, $50 million. Can we stop using the words $50 million?
And he literally could have... And the thing is he will always, it's just no getting away from it. Like in lockdown, even if he tried to boycott Netflix, it was like, you seen Tiger King? And I said, no, shut the fuck up.
Do you think he has it?
I like to think that he's now so broke.
What's his name?
John Antioco.
I'm looking.
I don't know if I'm saying that right. I like to think he's now so broke that he can only watch Netflix via his mum or sister's one when she's not watching it herself. Not that I want him to be broke. I just think it's amusing that someone who was that rich laughed at a visionary like the Netflix people. The other thing as well is he would have had children.
Oh, yeah.
Who would have done nothing in school and would have been the most... They would have been like Trump-like kids because they're like, well, my dad's Blockbuster. We're about to take over the Blockbuster chain. Where's that going? What do you mean the internet? Would have done nothing in school, been horrible to people, and then one day just... all gone just like that.
Did you know by 2004, Antioco and Blockbuster knew they were in for a fight? In 2005, Blockbuster Online engaged in a price war with Netflix. Did not go well.
No.
As well as with Walmart's competing service. So this is like so long ago. In a conference call at the end of the year, Hastings told analysts that Blockbuster was throwing everything at them but the kitchen sink.
Oh, nice.
The next day, Hastings received a kitchen sink from Antioco.
Oh, God. Well, he actually sent him a...
Antioco,
yeah.
But he sent Netflix a kitchen... I'm throwing everything at you but the kitchen sink. And then he sent him, and the kitchen sink!
It's funny, though, because Netflix had that whole Netflix and chill thing, which I think is fucking grim. I hate that whole, you know, they're like, oh, watch a film and sleep together. And his Blockbuster, like, was behind on the, you know, they couldn't sell that kind of thing because you have to walk to the shop.
I like Netflix while chill. I want to fuck while we watch the movie.
Why?
That's, but it's.
You're not watching the film.
I am. You can do both. Because.
What if you're watching Schindler's List? Can you do both then?
Do not question my sexual abilities on this podcast.
What about Precious? Or 12 Years a Slave?
It depends what parts of the film are on.
Pretty much all of them.
There's some.
Yeah?
12 Years a Slave, there'd be some parts where it's just like shots of like trees.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that. Otherwise.
What about Hook then, a Disney film, where it's just children?
If it, what about the part where it's Robin Williams fighting Hook? That's two grown men just fighting.
You've got a window of about 30 seconds.
I could fuck to that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Buddy. There's parts where Robin Williams fights with his wife. I could fuck to that before he dives in and becomes Peter Pan.
But the Blockbuster model was like, you walk to the shop, rent out of cassette, and then you take your date home, and then you got to try and jam it in the shitty old players that never used to work. And lean down, and so your bum, builder's bum, is probably in the air, and then you start smacking the VHS. And by that point, you probably realize, hey, this guy's got, like, fucking anger problems.
I think you just didn't know how to put a VHS in.
It never worked for me, ever.
You're like, thank God Netflix is here, I've never watched a film.
My friend Orlando told me about him bringing a girl back to his house, or his mum and dad's house, and this is a few years ago, still had the VHS player. And he tried to put tape in and said it was just the most unsexy thing because he's just on his knees trying to get it to work for ages. And yeah, just had this like fight with the thing. And she ended up leaving because it's just like, you can't work a basic bit of technology and you've got anger problems. So there you go.
Do you like reality TV?
No.
None of it?
None of it.
There's not one reality television show you like.
I like Temptation Island.
Red?
Yeah.
I host a reality TV show.
Oh, yeah, you do.
That is on ITV2.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I'm sure I'm going to love it, and I'm sure the listeners...
The first season has already been released, Red. That was like a year and a half ago. You haven't seen it.
No.
Killer Camp.
Yeah.
It's a murder mystery.
Yeah.
Where every episode, the killer...
Mm-hmm.
Kills off a camper,
mm-hmm.
and they're this summer camp, mm-hmm. and then all the contestants try to figure out who the killer is, and if they figure out who the killer is, they get the money. If the killer remains hidden, the killer gets the money.
Sounds like a good show.
You've never watched it.
I saw an advert for it.
I'm the host.
I know. I saw you in the advert.
I've watched everything you've done.
No, you haven't.
All the television you've done, I've watched.
It's not come out yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I will watch it when it comes out.
Okay.
Yeah, well, in 2000, the show Big Brother came out. It's what I was going to get into.
Okay, Big Brother.
But now I'm scorned.
Yeah?
That you haven't even watched my show.
Has anyone watched Killer Camp?
I play camp counselor Bobby.
Yeah?
It's a real acting stretch for me.
Of course, yeah. No, I know the premise. I think I was gigging like every night it came out.
It was on the hub, the ITV hub. You could
I don't have that.
Everyone has that. It's free. It's a free app where you can watch ITV's programming.
You got to put your email in, though, don't you?
Yeah, you have an email.
Yeah, but then I got credit password for the. It's a lot of stuff. I'm going to watch it. Okay?
I don't want you to watch it now.
Okay, I won't watch it then.
Don't watch it.
I'm not going to watch Series 2 either. But if you're listening or watching, watch Killer Camp on ITV2, is it?
I don't need you
okay.
to promo my show for me.
Okay.
A man who's now, what are you going to say? I've never seen it, but Bobby is in it, so please watch it.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
This is pathetic.
Okay, sorry.
You're not a very supportive friend. You didn't come to my wedding. You didn't watch my TV show.
I'm here with you now.
Whenever you're at my house and I ask you, hey, I need help lifting a couch. Mm. Will you help me? You complain the whole time.
Because every time I come to your house, I have to lift loads of stuff. And it feels like I'm working. It doesn't feel like I'm a guest.
You helped me move once. And while we were carrying heavy furniture, what did you do? You carried two pillows. There was a pile. There was like a whole house's worth of things in our house to carry out to the van that was illegally parked waiting outside. And I was carrying like an armchair.
Mm-hmm.
Harriet, pre-pregnancy, was carrying like a chest of drawers. And you walked out with two pillows.
In my defense, the pillows needed to get in the van because you wanted the pillows.
Yeah, but clearly they go in last because you can fit them around anything. You don't put the pillows in first.
Okay, so Bobby,
when packing a van.
Answer me this. When you went to bed that night after a hard day's lifting and you leant back.
I closed my eyes and thought about you carrying pillows.
Did the back of your head gently touch two soft pillows comfortably there for you? Or did it slam hard on a pillowless bed?
I see what you're trying to do right now. What? And I don't like it.
Okay.
Because the pillows you were carrying were couch cushions. So I didn't sleep on them. They didn't go anywhere near a mattress. They were decorative cushions for a couch. Not even necessary to sleep.
Well, they needed to be in the van. And someone had to do it. So I did it.
Let's talk about Big Brother.
Okay.
The show Big Brother premiered in the year 2000, which inspired reality television.
It inspired everything, I think. I think it's the reason Trump got in power. That was the start of, it was the end of Western civilization. I think you can pinpoint it to Big Brother. It's when talent became nothing and just celebrity was more important. People who didn't used to be famous unless they were a footballer, a politician, a singer, you know, it was the start of like, oh, this is Craig. You know, what does he do? It's like, I don't really know, but he's there.
Let's watch him exist.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, some genius, you know, business, you know, media guy was like, let's stick loads of normal people in and then give the idea that you don't need any ability, but you deserve to be heard and seen. And you should be famous. And that's where we are now. And that's, you know, it was the start of the Instagram influencer, the start of the footballer's wife, I believe. You know, it was when this, you know, who was Gary Lineker's wife in the 80s? No one knew.
So you don't think footballers should have wives?
No.
You think footballers' wives should all stay inside like they're in Afghanistan? That's what you think. You don't watch my television program.
I knew the genre of the program.
Now that we're talking about reality TV, which I am a part of, I host reality television show, you choose to say that it caused footballers' wives to leave the house.
That's not what I'm saying. And what you're saying is you're still angry about the fact that I haven't watched your ITV2 reality show. And you're bringing that anger into this. Well, what I'm saying is it made people who had no purpose to be on television on television.
Okay.
And that was, it became, oh, you don't need a skill. In the times of Trump, it was all about this sort of, you don't need to know what you're doing. Because so when Big Brother aired in 2000, there was a guy called Nasty Nick. You probably didn't hear about him in Canada.
Okay.
He was the first like reality TV villain.
Okay.
Pre-Mike the Situation and all that. And he lied on air about his wife dying in a car crash.
Wait, did he pretend she was still alive?
No, he said she died in a car crash.
Okay.
Just a weird, like, sympathy thing. And then he used to write notes to the other people and go, I think we should evict this guy because they found out his plan. And he was like some city broker. Was like, I was just playing the game. And then he left and got, like, loads of money, way more money than everyone else. And it kind of set the, like, it's not about being good, a good, you know, you got to be entertaining and horrific and the world needs a villain. You make loads of money from it. And it's kind of the early Trump model, you know.
But did you ever watch Big Brother?
I did early on, and then it was it became so bad what people would do to be like get headlines when they went into the house. Like there was a girl called Kinga.
Okay.
The British press called her Kinga the Minger, which was in the noughties. It was a different time.
a meaner, more judgmental yeah. time.
But so she went on and Big Brother, first night, she drank like 3 bottles of Prosecco and put a bottle of Prosecco inside herself.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's where we got to as a culture and a society. It was like, go make a splash. That's what you got to do. And that's, we're still talking about it 20 years later. I hate to say it, but that's when, you know, that was the day everything went to hell.
When What's her name again?
Kinga. Kinga the...
Kinga the Minger.
Yeah, yeah.
When she put a bottle inside herself.
Yeah, it just became, oh, do what you do, whatever it is, it's better to be famous than not at all. And then it doesn't matter what you do. You know, the whole, like, everyone hates me, but it's cool. Like, the Pool Brothers are sort of playing on that whole thing now.
I think, though, there's a chance that you have this, you resent fame.
Mm.
Because 20 years ago, you had a shot at it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You could have been in Harry Potter. You could have replaced Daniel Radcliffe and you'd have this fame. So now you look at fame cynically when actually it just reminds you of your own failures.
Well, answer me this.
What is this, a fucking riddle? Yeah. Answer me this. Riddle me this then, Bobby. No,
answer me this, Bobby. Was Daniel Radcliffe even considered to play Big Baby in the latest ITV2 show that's coming out soon?
I think he was busy.
I don't think he was. He does nothing.
He's in films all the time, right? He's still very successful.
I haven't watched any of them.
No.
No. There's a few things I won't watch. Your show, Daniel Radcliffe.
Big Brother.
Big Brother. No, it was fairly amusing because it was just like, you just saw like, oh God, people will do anything, you know?
Mm.
They had one I once watched, this guy, what's he called? I can't remember. But he had to go on the Dutch one, and he was like a semi, he was in Hollyoaks or something. And they made him eat a boiled, like swallow boiled eggs. And at one point, he just burst into tears.
That's so sad. I know. That's so bleak. I'm so sorry.
I know. It was like, oh, what are you going to do? And then that woman who had an affair with Beckham, Rebecca Luce, they had one called Celebrity Farmhouse, and she wanked off a pig on it. And you're like, oh, this is where we are. Like,
how am I got here?
Yeah. And
it's just, this is not how I saw things going. The thing is also, when you're waking off a pig, it's like you want it to end, so you have to try to do a really good job. Yeah.
Otherwise you're going to be there all fucking night.
If you unenthusiastically jerk off a pig, it's going to take 2 hours. But in your head, you have to think, what would this pig really like? And then you just have to firmly, but not too firmly, like get a grasp of the pig's dick. And like, do pigs like it if I stroke their balls? I just like rub around the pig's asshole while jerking it off just to finish it quickly. Say, oh my God, you got a big dick, pig. You got a real big pig dick. And that pig dick, oh my God. Like, it's like, listen, lady, you don't have to swallow the pig cum. Stop sucking the pig dick, please. I just wanted it to be over. I'll take this load in the mouth to make this end.
She now lives in Norway in the middle of nowhere. I Googled her the other day because I was like, I wonder if she's up to. She literally lives in like the northern part of Norway. And she's not allowed near pigs. Oh, God. But that must have been hard for Beckham's wife, just like, so this is who you had an affair with. Imagine being the pig. You've gotten with a woman who's been with you and Beckham.
Considering all the things we do to pigs, we take them away from their children, we chop them up and eat them.
Yeah.
We fatten them up, we put them in little cages. Somebody starts jerking you off, you're just like, well, this beats most days as a pig.
To be fair, I think we probably owe it to them and should do it more often. That's, not just for TV money, just as a decent thing to do.
The thing is, they don't put animals together unless they're breeding, and animals generally can't masturbate because they don't have hands.
No.
So if a pig wants to, so you're kind of, by putting a pig alone in a cage, you're depriving it of the ability to orgasm.
Yeah, yeah,
So the least you can do is jerk it off once in a while, if it's cool with it.
Yeah. Do you have to ask?
Yeah, well, you do it slowly and see if the pig's in. If the pig walks away, you think, no, it doesn't want it. But if the pig comes a bit closer to you and snorts into your ear, a little gentle, sexy snort, well, then you make television history.
Oh, God. I like the thought that someone's going to find this podcast and go, I like history.
Well, it's the history of people making pigs come.
Or just some nephew visiting, or some grandson visiting their granddad in a nursing home. I like history. So I found there's a podcast for you, and then just puts it in his ears and he can't move and just has to listen to this. Shoot me.
No, he'd like million dollar baby it and bite his tongue to try to bleed out.
God. Oh, yeah, I regret having the vaccine. Wow, I think we've covered Big Brother. Oh, God. Talking of pigs, Bobby, no, just the Pope, not a pig, a real man, in the year 2000. Yeah, so Pope John Paul the II, surprisingly he's the second, they all seem to be Pope John Paul to me, but he apologized for the wrongdoings by members of the Roman Catholic Church throughout the ages. So he decided to say, sorry, everyone.
It's quite a sweeping apology.
Yeah, it's
I'm vague. Sorry about, slavery. I'm sorry about the child stuff. I'm sorry about just general oppression.
Here's, do you want to know what he apologized for?
Okay.
He apologized for the legal process on the Italian scientist and philosopher Galileo, himself a devout Catholic, around 1633. So I'm sorry about Galileo in 1633. You're like, yeah. I don't know if that's the
it's
one.
It's not the
be...
big one. What about starting a pyramid scheme for boy fucking?
The one unbelief beneath that was he was sorry for Catholics' involvement with the African chiefs who sold their subjects and captives in the African slave trade. So it's like, sorry about Galileo. You know, let's get the big one out of the way. Oh, yeah, and the slave trade as well. You know.
There's some things an apology kind of feels silly.
Yeah.
Like words are silly.
Yeah.
I feel like actions are more important.
He also, John Paul II, sent his first email apologizing for Catholic sex abuse cases. Sent by email. Sorry, was that to a group? Like you were CC'd in? Sorry about that. From the Pope.
I mean...
they're going to have to do this every 20 years, because this is 21 years ago and it hasn't stopped. So is that... and it, so what he did is, well, he organized a prayer for forgiveness of sins of the church. So really... let's just all get together, say, sorry, forgive me, and it's done. Bye-bye.
If you're the person who's in charge of the organization that did the thing, you don't then get to be like, okay, I've apologized. I think it's forgiveness time. Yeah. Like, what? You got to wait for the victims to forgive you. You can't say, okay, I've apologized, and I think we as a group should now move on to praying.
So you sent an email.
Forgiving.
You sent an email.
And the thing is, he was like 88. He didn't send the email.
No, so he got an
assistant.
He doesn't
know how to send an email, an 88-year-old man 20 years ago.
Imagine if I came to a party or house, got drunk, like blocked your loo, vomited everywhere, was rude to Harriet, punched one of your guests, and then the next day I got Jody to send an apology email and said, by the way, I'm coming around at 3 for the forgiveness ceremony. Yeah, I just thought that was, it's just interesting to see two decades later. How long does that apology last? Is he like, that covers 30 years? I don't know.
I'd say give it like before you come back. Like, I'd say you want a gap of at least like a couple weeks between the apology and the forgiveness ceremony.
Also, the fact it's taking you about 1,000 years to apologize. See you next millennium.
I'm sorry, forgive me, thank you.
Yeah, who knows what it will be then. It probably won't even be email we'll apologize on. But no, I just thought that was interesting. What you got, anything, Bobby? Anything else on the year 2000? The big year, Y2K?
This story, it ended in the year 2000. Not widely known, but it made me happy. Okay, the Confederate submarine, the H.L. Hunley, was raised to the surface after 136 years in the ocean floor. And you've probably never heard the Hunley. It was one of the first submarines, and they used it in the Civil War.
What?
Yeah, they had submarines
in
the Civil War.
That's insane.
So in 1863, they tested out this submarine. 5 people died. The crew died.
Of course.
They brought it back up from the ground. Then they put 8 people on board. They tested the submarine a second time. It sunk. All 8 people on board dead.
Mm-hmm.
Then... they raised it up again out of the water, put 8 more people on board. How fucking crazy do you have to be to get on board a submarine a third time after both crews who've gotten onto it have fucking died? Also, it's not like submarines are widely known at that point. They're like, hey, we've got this amazing new technology where you can go underwater. And you're like, really? I don't know anyone who's ever went underwater for more than 20 seconds and not been dead. And they're like, no. This is going to be good. Okay, what happened to the other people that tried to go underwater in your new invention? What's it called again? The submarine. Okay, well, what happened to the other submarine people? They are all dead. All 13 of them are dead. But we think you 8, you're going to live. So they put those 8 in the submarine. It lasted a while. It actually went into battle, and it sunk the USS Housatonic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the submarine, for a third time, sunk, and the third crew of 8 people died, where it sat, and they sat for 136 years on the ocean floor until they were resurrected in the year 2000.
And no one's attempting to give it a go again.
Well, not in that sub. I would say the Henley is probably not the best designed sub.
No, I don't think it's like, why would you try and bring something back to life that, you know, constantly does that?
I know, it didn't. It's like, not working.
We're going to bring back Jack the Ripper. It's not worked both times, but we'll give it another go. It's also weird that they had submarines. It probably didn't have like moisturizer or anything. You know what I mean? Like that was such a backward time.
Yes.
And then they're like, yeah, let's all go underwater.
Listen, I appreciate the ambition of the person who built it. Very ambitious.
Yeah.
But.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
What?
Starting a crowdfunder so me, you, and Jody can be the first people to get back in it and resurrect it and do a pod.
I think you should do a one-person pod.
Underwater.
In the Henley. I really think I'm dragging this podcast down, and you on your own.
I did think that, yeah.
should go deep underwater in an 1860s submarine.
Yeah, okay. I'll
just see how it goes.
See how it goes. Yeah, it's not worked, but we've gaffer taped the hull from before.
They probably didn't even have duct tape in the 18th. Duct tape might have been all they needed.
They used a Rizzler.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We've got a king-size, extra-strong Rizzler. We put it on the hull that fucked everything before.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, you sort of feel like you've been bummed out. But also imagine being the ship that got done by it, you know, when they actually managed to kill some people. Oh, God. We weren't very good
at our job.
It
worked, though. They died heroes. They died having sunk another ship.
I think they died choking and screaming. I think after we go, well, they were heroes.
That's how every hero died. They died heroes in their own right. They were Confederate soldiers. Eventually, their side lost, but in that moment, they died feeling victorious.
Oh, so these were on the Confederate side?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, they were the sort of racist hicks. Fuck them. No wonder it didn't work. Backward idiots. They're the sort of people who stormed the Capitol with those stupid horns on us. Yeah, we got a submarine. It's like, sure you do.
It was half of America.
Sure? Yeah, it's true. And I don't want to judge anyone. But I just don't think that was, historically, you don't go, those were the smart guys, you know? Because they were fighting to keep slavery going.
That's true.
Mm.
And we are both against it.
Yes, we've said many times before, not up for it.
No.
Okay, good. I hear about more death, Bobby?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is the death of an entire species. In 2000...
I think that's a good way. It's a nice way to end because, you know, every day climate changes in the news, mm-hmm. and we might think it's a new problem.
It's been going
on. But actually, we've been destroying the planet for a long time.
Well, not just us. When was the last time you saw a dinosaur, mate?
You think dinosaurs destroyed?
Yeah.
Added to...
not recycling.
Had a high carbon footprint.
Yeah, they were fucking horrendous. They didn't give a shit about the environment. No, it was a Pyrenean ibex. They go extinct. The last one dies. Ever. So they're done. Completely done. Weirdly, actually, I discovered they tried to, genetically recreate it off the dead body. And they made another one. And it died after 9 days. So this, look, I'm sorry. This, no one can do anything for this animal. And it wasn't actually humans that killed it out. It died because it couldn't compete for food. And this is the...
With who, though?
So it lives across like Spain and France and Italy and stuff. Well, it couldn't with sheep and various other animals for some reason.
I mean, if you can't compete with sheep,
like,
you're fucked.
You're done. You're not here. You don't. It's like with pheasants. You know, you see them. You're like, how the fuck are you? There's rhinos and tigers going extinct, but you guys who seem to live in the middle of the road can't fly properly, and are the dumbest things are just still alive. It's crazy. But I suppose that's because rich people breed them to shoot. I don't know. Maybe that's the case. But who knows? But so the interesting part of this, dare I say, funny bit, was that the last ibex that died was called Celia.
I guess if there's one of an animal left, give them a name.
Give them a name. She was killed by a fallen tree. So I don't think Celia was the best representative for ibexes that could have been left alive.
Red.
Mm?
A tree could fall on anyone.
It could fall on anyone. But I think if you're the last of your species, you could kind of go, oh, maybe I'm just going to stand in a like space that's not.
If you're the last of your species, though.
Mm. Well, maybe it's raining. And she went, oh, God, I better not get pneumonia because I'm the last of my species to be alive. I'm just going to go stand under this. Bang, dead.
It's a lot of pressure.
The thing is, there would have been a guy whose whole thing was ibexes. You know, you like some people like pandas, whales, everyone's got a thing.
Well, it would have been a depressing.
A depressing thing.
Couple
like,
years for
Celia,
him leading
wait
up
here.
To this.
I think I've found a way to recreate a male so we can breed you. Just give us 2 minutes. And he's running back. And then he just sees the tree fall on her. And that's the end of Celia. And the end of ibexes across the world. But I think the keynote of that is we're all going to die, and it's sometimes not going to be as impressive or spectacular as we think or would hope it would be.
That's true. Hopefully you before me.
Yeah. And then who would you get to replace me on here?
Anyone.
Okay, well, we'll see you next week, I hope.
Like, if you enjoyed this podcast, like, subscribe,
share,
tell your friends,
leave a review,
please. We need to get some sponsors,
good review,
so that I can afford
better friends.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much for listening. Until next time, this has been The Year Is with me, Red Richardson.
I don't want to say my name now. Let's just end it.
Okay, bye. Bob, his name's Bobby Mayer. Bye.
Thank you for listening to an episode of The Year Is with me, comedian Bobby Mayer, and my sometimes friend Red Richardson. This podcast has been produced by our brilliant producer, Jody Vandenberg. Thank you.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.